Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday show on Here Be Monsters, and a little congratulations to Brother France for at least not having a fascist in the hot seat over there. That was the Casablanca scene. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Where the Germans are singing and sloshing their beers in Rick's place. And what's his name? Bergman's husband gets up the
Laszlo.
Laszlo, the dissident, gets up and tells the orchestra to play the French. You know, the
French anthem.
The French anthem. And it was a really good moment, and it really captured a time and place where repression was incredible. Just like it is right now. I don't think people really grasp how devastating the repression is economically on people who have no money, who are unemployed, that are trying so hard to find their way to citizenship in this country. I mean, everywhere you turn, there are people who you can see in their eyes are suffering out there. They're in society. I mean, go to the grocery store, guys, you know.
They're exploited. They're exploited, and in many industries, they're cheated out of their wages.
Yes. Well, in this country, too, you have a very, very strong division line going down the middle of the country, and then you get an incompetent asshole standing in front of reporters that he casts aside once they ask real questions, that says that, you know, there was no real reason for the Civil War. The guy is a complete...
What an incompetent boob. He has no clue about anything.
Yeah, he is pretty bad. And on top of it, it just keeps piling up more and more. Today, an article was published by the New York Times about Jared Kushner his family holdings offering citizenship to Chinese nationalists who put $150 million or more into his family business in China.
Exactly. No, that guy is as corrupt as hell. He, just because he's 31 and he's been a kind of a silent guy in the background, he's not silent anymore. He's had a lot of influence. Undue influence, I might add, and he's a corrupt little bastard. You bet he is.
Well, and oftentimes you find in the hindsight of these escapades historically that when you get a group of money grubbing, greedy bastards together who want to take the kingdom for themselves and
capitalist pigs,
spoil the people. I mean, this is historical patriarchy. When these cabals of the rich get together, they come out, you know, bloodletting on themselves in the end. And you have to wonder how fast, because things are just happening so much more quickly these days than ever before in history, because we have instant access, instant information, instant money transfers, instant everything. And this kind of a fallout, you know, they're not going to sit back and allow Donny Boy to screw around so much, especially when you've got a very few, including political, you know, totalitarians who have crushed their own countries financially, backing them and trying to get them into a new small cabal. Because this is not made up, in my opinion, of the, you know, old carpetbagger regime of one percenters, ExxonMobil, these families.
No, it's different groups. It's the learners, which are terrible people, and their allies, and they're the ones that blessed us with Kellyanne Conjob and Sean Spicer and what's his face, that senator for the attorney general. That was her urging. You know, we have that learner daughter to blame for that. A billionaire in her own right, and who thought she'd help Trump out. Once he started winning primaries, you know, they're corrupt billionaires, all of them, and they have nothing to do with ExxonMobil.
No, you're talking about the Mercers, and if you look real closely, you'll see that a lot of these people are tangled up in arms manufacturing and trading.
Oh, yeah.
They're tangled up in real estate holdings all over the world. They're not petroleum-based, except for the fact that petroleum, I mean, I can imagine what's going on in the boardrooms where 51% of ExxonMobil is still held by the old family. What's happening with this appointment of their CEO and the big oil deal set on the table between Exxon and Russian state oil.
And then you've got the Koch brothers in the background willing to pour all kinds of millions into financing candidates of their choice who have nothing to do with representing American people, but just billionaires like themselves. It's corruption at the highest level.
Well, and I got to tell you, you know, like I was saying, ExxonMobil still held 51% stock, and there's a reigning rule at that table. I the name of the family eludes me at the moment, which it should, but they're not going to put up. I don't think that they'll allow this Russian petroleum state deal to go through, even if it comes up after all of these sanctions are removed. I think they're going to say, no, we're pulling out of that. We're not going to give you the equipment.
That would be interesting. That would create a division in that group, and I'd love to see it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They're bloodiest among themselves. They are. And
ExxonMobil is so pervasive and so visible, but there are, like you're saying, there are a lot of underpinnings that are involved, too, that we don't see that often.
Factions that are trying to go into out of petroleum and out of gouging the earth and into green industry because they're foresight and they're visionary about it. They're also working on many chemical levels. They're as heavy into chemistry as DuPont is. And these are the old one percenters that have held their sway for how many generations now. And these people who have gotten their political the political stock in are the corrupt new money, which would be people like the Mercers and such, and also the anciently corrupt that have always been kept out of kept away from that table. You know, you don't find those Koch brothers at a Bilderberg meeting. In other words, you know, because they don't. It's like Trump showing up at that dinner with Hillary Clinton in New York prior to the election.
Mm-hmm.
Those as Trump. They think he's a nasty son of a bitch, and they know him for the fraud and con man. There's no honor in him. And there's
right.
no honor in people like Mercer, because they've collected their communications, all that they've built on, they've done by bait switching. And now look at Betsy DeVos in that crowd, and their intermarriage.
God.
Incest is incredible in that crowd, too, guys. Yeah. I mean, there's one
family. Well, that explains the insanity.
They've married into each other's families. I've heard that before, too. I mean,
yeah.
you keep it all in one bank. But the thing is that these people have done it in a way that is different. It's different. I'm not saying that the old 1% who've got their boot on the throat of the proletariat are good, that they haven't, but they have not wanted to crush industry. They have not wanted to crush the people completely, because they understand
right.
the essential need to have you know.
Well, they want continual exploitation, and they don't want
yeah.
to have that threatened.
No.
Well, the thing is, if you can take the working middle class of this country and bring it down to a third world status, like what I saw when the Navy sent me down to South America, they had no middle class in South America. You had the incredibly wealthy and the incredibly poor.
Right.
And that's what this group, this 1%, is trying to bring us down to. And it's doing so slowly. Basically, you know, it's like the frog in the boiling water. You can keep turning it up until you cook him, and they
mm-hmm.
don't even know that they're being cooked.
Right.
Yes. But I would say that you're forgetting an element in society that all societies, even when they're being crushed like this, have. It's how a lot of business gets done in Russia, and that's by black market. That means the criminal element. I mean, mafia.
Oh, big time.
Oh, absolutely.
Big
oh, yes. Absolutely. Why do you
Russian
think we have such a heroin?
It's a very accurate
why do we think
term.
We have, yeah, why do we think we have such a heroin epidemic in this country? Number one, it's got cheap. You have the underpinning, the underground black market. That's marketing it. When Lancaster, Ohio here, when Anchor Hawking's Glass left, you know, Trump, you know, they said, oh, we're going to bring back the glass manufacturing here. The population is 80 to 90% white. They are all working middle class, but it was all based on Anchor Honk, everybody working
right.
on Anchor Hawking. And the economy that, you know, wagon wheeled out from there.
Right.
And the thing is Cerberus, the investment bankers, the investment firm came in, right? Oh, we're going to modernize this, did this. Basically, they drove it in the ground and bankrupted it. Everybody, the whole town suffered. They elected a blatantly Klansman as mayor and sheriff of the county. And they voted 90-95% for Trump. Because he was going
yeah.
to bring their jobs back.
Yeah, well, they're all going to lose their health. They're all going to lose their health benefits, their subsidies, their.
Thank you, Gwen. Right.
Like the retail market in this country, since Trump has been elected, has fallen off considerably. People aren't.
Uh-huh.
People don't go to malls anymore, guys. They don't.
Right.
They don't want to. Go and explore what's new and exciting. They stay home in fear. There's a great deal of dysfunction, emotional dysfunction in this country right now, and it's not contained within the United States borders.
No, it's a record level worldwide, really, in most industrial industrialized countries.
Because of technology outspinning the need for, you know, the need to recognize that we have to make industry out of technology and begin to build our green networks so that we can survive what's already here.
And then you've got
Glenn,
little tin horn dictators like Putin trying to exploit that and turn it in his favor. It is really, it's a horrible time.
Yeah.
It is.
Glenn, what I wanted to add was, solar panel industry has employing over 100,000 people right now.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that's within the last year, the last couple of years, 100,000 people in green energy.
It needs to employ more. There need to be more facilities, and it's not just solar panels. There's so much green industry that can be done in cleaning our oceans, there is so much green industry that can be, and profit in rebuilding our cities is incredible. My business partner, whose family, was with his adoptive son on a tour of China with their choral group, these boys from prep school up in New York. And they went through China, and he sent me photographs of the skies in the Chinese cities. They had to fly to the cities. They couldn't take a bus or anything, which was depressing to him because he couldn't see the countryside that well. But he texted me, said, "This would scare the hell out of you. I'm glad you're not on the trip." And he sent me pictures of the skies in Beijing and the skies in the other large city there in China. And
Shanghai.
Gentlemen, if you saw these pictures, you would be scared. And so would America if they saw it. Now with the declassification and the defunctory of the EPA and regulations, we will soon get there. It'll take less than 2 years for us to look like China. And that's going to scare the hell out of everybody. Where you can't go outside without wearing a mask.
Oh, yeah.
2,000 people a day in China die of lung-caused pollution diseases.
Mm-hmm.
2,000 people a day.
Yeah,
and that's what Trump and the anti-EPA legislation that this group of corrupt Republicans, this valueless Republicans, are pushing for to turn us into the exact same thing that China is. So what's the cost of anti-pollution? How about your medical, which you're not going to have anymore, when you're suffering from lung-infected pollution?
Mesothelioma.
Oh, that's just one of them.
Yeah, many of them, yep.
That's asbestos. That one is unique only to asbestos.
Right. We drove from here in St. Lucie down to a going-away party last night back in Lake Worth in the Palm Beach area, and I can't tell you, I work with essential oils, so I go nose blind a lot of times when I'm working, you know, pouring a lot. And even through nose blindness, as we were coming through Fort Pierce and Jupiter and getting towards Palm Beach County, I smelled the difference in the cities, and the difference is the pollution.
Yeah, I know.
It's like, wow, this ain't, because we're flat here, guys. The pollution blows off of us, but when it's consistent, there's a big problem.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, I remember years ago, I went to L.A., and I hadn't been there for a long time, and I came back, and they were still plagued, and they still are today, with a lot of pollution out there, but it's gotten a lot better because of the stringent anti-pollution activity that has been undertaken. But years ago when I went out there, I remember when I'm down in downtown Minneapolis, which is quite, by comparison, much cleaner. You'll be standing on a street corner and you'll run into little pockets of cooler and then warmer air, and it'll just happen. You know, it just happens to you. When I was in L.A., I noticed distinctly pockets of cleaner versus more polluted air. I could just tell the difference, boom, just like that, just hit it right in the face. And, you know, they're having that all over China now, or not all over China, but in the bigger industrial centers, especially Shanghai and Beijing and stuff. And I suppose even down in Canton they are. I don't know, I haven't been there. But at any rate, it's happening quite a bit all over that country. And it's got to be checked. They've got to do something about it. And they're starting to grasp the importance of it and deal with it. And I hope that Trump will be defeated and he won't be able to pollute as much as he wants to.
Even 2 years of unbridled, oh God, we're in for a lot of trouble.
Oh,
with
it could be really bad.
I was going to say, right, 2 years is going to be a long time and a lot of damage can be done in 2 years. It'll take 10 years to clean up what this 2 years will bring upon us.
Well, you know, there are pockets of good things happening. For example, let's talk California again. There's talk in California right now. They're about ready to hold a vote on whether or not to go single payer for their health care in that state. And they have the population base to make it work. Vermont tried it, and it didn't work. They only had 600,000 people to draw from, and they couldn't sustain it. But If California were to go that way and let Vermont and other and a few other states to take part
join
in their
in
system,
with them.
That'd be just absolutely incredible, and that would shake the insurance company to its core, and they deserve to be shaken really bad.
Yeah, absolutely.
Massachusetts has a pretty embracing, I was on it, healthcare coverage for everybody who's registered, especially if you're paying taxes or you're registered to vote in that
mm-hmm.
state. There's coverage for you. They call it Romney Care, but it
right.
and it's a lot like Obamacare, but it
right.
seemed to me, and in retrospect, that it was better than Obamacare because they didn't hike anything up, and you cannot be the pre-existing condition can't be levied against
you. Can't play that, right?
It's
good.
Right,
mm-hmm.
the way it stands in Florida with these Republican bastards so infiltrated throughout the state's government systems, we are in for a lot of trouble here. And there are a major amount of retirees down here who voted.
Oh yeah.
Old Jews who voted for Trump. My God, I was stunned.
Yeah.
They're
brainwashed. They don't know what the hell they're doing.
They're about to get their asses kicked big time, especially on their Social Security and their disability.
Not only Rick
sure.
Scott, but a lot of Florida Republicans, especially conservative Republicans, are turning that into a very corrupt state. It's very corrupt.
It's always been corrupt down here.
It's really horrible now.
And Lawton Childs didn't do much for this.
No,
state.
He was a piece of crap too. He's one of your original Blue Dog guys. He's pretty worthless.
Well, he always claims he'll tell you on the back burner there that he had to be that way because of all the Republicans at his heels.
Yeah.
I don't buy it. We can't buy that kind of thing anymore. I mean,
that's just a lazy politician taking the easy way out.
Yes, I agree with you, Jack. I think that's quite true. And the other part about it is that not every Republican sitting in office right now, of course, there's damn few of them. You can pick them out with a toothpick, I guess. But there are Republicans who are true conservatives who want people to benefit from, like, you know, John Kasich. I don't care for patriarchal view of life, but he thinks that it should be single payer, that everybody has the right to health care.
Oh, there are a number of Republicans that look at it that way, especially in the conservative bloc, not the reactionary bloc, though. There's a big difference between the reactionary and the conservative bloc. Some who call
very
themselves
well stated,
conservatives
Jeff.
Are blind reactionaries
well
and they don't know anything.
Well,
very
they
well
can't
stated, yes.
Can't read the information set in front of them
right.
In order to govern the country. We've got a lot of imbeciles sitting in Washington right now.
A lot of them are bought out.
Demagogues. Well, they're bought out, but that's, you know, that's almost second plate to the fact that they don't even know how this country actually runs, and they're sitting in
Congress.
Well,
they don't have to because they're propped up by big money. That's why we got to get money the hell out of politics. It's corrupting everything.
Agreed. Well, I'm not one of those people who basically thinks that you shouldn't be able to make as much as you can. I think you should.
It honestly and do it with your community's best stake in mind instead of just grabbing everything for yourself and to hell with everybody else.
Well, and there's the other side of that, too. Last week, people were saying what an idiot Obama was for taking $400,000 for speaking, and yet nobody except a few people commented on the fact that he and his wife had just contributed over $1 million to paid tuitions for kids' school funding. I mean,
uh-huh.
you know, to charity. This is the way the world works right now, commerce.
Well, yeah, just like there was so much criticism of the Clinton Foundation, but they've done a hell of a lot of good work over the years. They haven't been sticking money in their pockets.
No, they didn't need to, and they're not
right.
They're not that kind of greedy, in my opinion.
No, they believe in service, public service, and service instituted to help people overall.
Well, you got young Joe Kennedy in Congress right now,
yeah.
who's making a name for himself by standing up and barking back. And he's doing it in the same fashion as his uncle did, you know, Ted.
Mm-hmm.
And
Teddy. Mm-hmm.
He's basically saying that if you don't stand up, if you don't pay attention, you know, he's talking to people more than he is to the media. He's saying, please listen to me. Him and also his cousin who's working for the damn Trump administration, Bobby, is still speaking out and saying, hey, listen, this is wrong, this is right, you know.
Right.
Nobody's being quiet. It's waking people up, getting people to understand you can't just sit and listen to what some politician is saying, and that goes.
No,
for,
you've got to use your brain and be aware and check things out and know what the truth is from bullshit. And you know, you've got to resist because if you just go along with the crowd, you're allowing it to happen.
Well,
silence is consent.
It is, and basically. You can speak on behalf of the person who's working as hard as they can, who hasn't got the time to sit down and listen to, like, they could choose to listen to, say, Rachel Maddow instead of, you know, Anderson Cooper. Most people are confused right now because the majority of the country watches CNN, not Fox. The Fox people are basically a minority.
Oh, they got to be scrambling for cover. They got to be shell-shocked.
Well, right now,
they deserve to be.
The thing about Fox viewers is that they may be fewer, but they're rabid, you know, and they
I like that. They're rabid. Fox viewers are rabid. I like that. It's true.
But
very
they
true.
Are. They are.
Yes, I mean, no, I'm not. You are. You're right. You nailed it.
Well, there have been surveys taken over the years that prove beyond the shadow of a doubt that people who watch Fox News know less about real news that's happening in the world and around them in the country than people who don't pay attention to news at all. It's incredible.
No, it's Thomas Jefferson's famous quote when he was running for president against Adams. He said, someone who knows nothing at all is better informed than someone whose head has been filled full of crap.
That's a
basically
good point.
Exactly
right. Yep. Exactly
right. And that's
right.
what we're dealing with.
And
the Fox viewers, their head has been filled
with propaganda
well,
and bullshit.
I'm going to give a Reagan quote. It's not what you know, it's what you know that ain't so is the problem.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And that is the Fox viewer.
Exactly right. And it's been going on for well over 20 years. It's really scary.
Yeah, well.
Well, Fox is being hacked right now in Europe.
Good.
Of expansion because of everything threatening from this American setup and the screw-ups in it, plus the fact that over in Britain, they, of course, broke the law and got sent to trial for it. They want to capture Sky News over there and Sky Television, but they're having
that,
a hard
That's fallen through, has it, or is it still in, are they still investigating?
It's still investigating.
Oh, I hope they reject them.
As all of these things happen consistently at Fox here in America, I mean, Fox News is just, it's an awful brand. But Fox Television and Fox Industries, you know, movie making and stuff, is one of the better houses. So it's like, wow, you know. Half you go this way, half you go that way. It's all very confusing, especially when you don't realize you're supporting the bastards in the long run by just being a fan. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, sure.
I mean, it's just incredible. It's incredible that Fox Television has such inspired writing and stories that they put out that are all about waking up, you know. It's like, wow, guys.
Yeah, there's an oxymoron for you, huh?
It's like, wow, you guys. See, you have to wonder where a guy like Rupert Murdoch and his children are standing right now. They're all pretty old adults. And you got to wonder, where are they actually standing? On the one place they know that they're going to make more money from now, it's becoming clear to them that the money making out of a Fox News kind of investment is chancy and is riddled with complications and pratfalls. And yet their other industry, as far as making movies and telling stories, which is almost the exact antithesis of what Fox News is,
right,
is making money and garnering, you know, inspired followers. So
and they love to make money, so I'm sure there's going to be a change at the top or near the top pretty soon. You know, Rupert's not a young boy anymore. Rupert's an old man, and he's lost without Roger Ailes. We've seen now since Ailes has left and the O'Reilly scandal erupted, and there's talk about Sean Hannity's misgivings and stuff too. These guys have lost a ton of ground that they once commanded, and he's like a fish out of water without his cohorts around him, like Ailes and O'Reilly. You know, it's unbelievable.
I think just looking at the chessboard, Jack, and he's trying to figure out who to put in place that will still command a large viewership and yet be all right with the integrity.
It sure as hell won't be Tucker Carlson. What a complete wimp that guy is. He's got him up against Rachel Maddow. She's killing him.
Well,
good. I'm glad to hear that.
She was killing O'Reilly, too. She has been since the election of Trump. Those viewers I don't know what viewers, but more and more viewers are tuning in to Rachel Maddow because, I mean, she looked straight in the camera a week ago and said to the camera, meaning she was looking at the White House and all the jackals sitting in there saying, we aren't going to give up. We will. The press will. And this show will uncover what is going on with all of these connections to Russia and all of these connections to oil.
Oh, yes. The Russian investigations are really supposed to open up this next week, and they're supposed to be starting to take a big look at Jared Kushner, too. And that's just fine with me. The more they can uncover and the more they can glaringly present it to the world, the better off the whole world's going to be.
It was well noted that the Le Pen, along with Trump, all got lots of money, enough to run the campaigns by themselves, loans from the Russian banks via the Putin connection.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It was all funded by
Putin.
Putin's
got to be licking his wounds right now because he got shoved right in the face on that one, on the French election.
Well, yes, he got caught with his hand in the cookie jar, but unfortunately,
we
in this country still have Trump.
We had a little bit
Trump
of a clue when we saw the Green Party, I think it was the Green Party in France, put up a huge banner covering part of the Eiffel Tower that had their slogan on it, Liberté, Égalité, and Fraternité. And then in the bottom left, it had hashtag resist. I love it.
It was actually, it's been all over the net. It's been all over Facebook. Half of my friends have got it as a backdrop on their pages.
Yeah.
Good for them.
It's been sort of a week where, you know, stuff happening here with the legislation that's gone through, and then the French, the hacking that has gone on since Friday Macron's email, and the accusation by the Macron campaign that inside of the emails that were hacked were phony emails planted.
They did the same thing with Hillary Clinton in this country.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that's what cops look for is a repeated pattern.
Right.
And that's how they know where the origin is and who the criminal is
right.
What they did in France, they hacked it, they planted false incriminating emails, totally made up lies. Well, that's exactly the same thing they did with Hillary and in this country.
Well,
hey, Gwen, I didn't see a criminal
that's so dumb. If it works once, I'm going to do it again because it's going to work again, and I'm going to do it again. The repetitive pattern is exactly what cops look for when they're looking for their evidence to lead them to the criminal activity.
What did you say, Jack?
I was going to ask you. I didn't happen to see the footage, but the far-right French candidate, did she graciously accept defeat, or did she have her nose in the air? Did she actually accept defeat?
She was very, very
subdued?
Calm.
Yeah,
very subdued, but saying, you know, this is, we're going to go, so we go onward, we go forward type of idea.
Yeah, well, what else could she say? She just been crushed. And, you know, her father was crushed before her in a similar bid to gain the presidency in France, and he got turned away big time. So I think hopefully that's going to mean the end of the far right in France. Let's hope so.
Well, I doubt that. It's like the far left in France or the Communist Party.
They've always been an undercurrent. But the far right has just kind of come out of nowhere. It flourishes, and then it goes away, and then it flourishes. Let's hope it just goes away.
Well, I doubt it, but because people love to hate.
They do.
Yeah.
Good point.
I was going to say, there's people that want to hate because they're so dissatisfied with their own lives that they have to tear down others just to give them some justification to even live.
Good point, Wayne. What insight that is. Very true.
Thank you.
I know
this is what we're talking about, the neo-Nazis and the Klansmen.
Yeah, I
know
half of the people
society.
Myself that fit that description.
Exactly.
Well, I will say this. The email hacking of Macron and their claim that there were phony emails presented amongst a bunch of emails that had been actually hacked. The same thing went on, of course, with Clinton's Podesta emails. Stuff was interjected. And there was a fight between the ultra-left and the Democrats who were trying to get Hillary elected and everything, saying, you know, that, this is not bullshit. This is the way it is. Well, here's the other part of that. In this dump of emails, it was 4chan, and anybody who's familiar with 4chan in the dark and Anonymous has gotten the kick side for me on this one, too. But you know who came on and backed it up right away? Backed them up?
Who?
WikiLeaks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Assange is bought and paid for. He's also going to...
Well, exactly. You know,
he's going.
That's the reason why, you know, they know that they've got extradition to bring him to this country to try him for activities when they got the stolen intelligence information from the one service member. And so he's out to tear down anybody of the establishment who's basically coming after him with warrants.
Right.
And that's what happened to the Hillary clamp.
I had this thought recently, and I wonder how long it will be before some, I'm not going to say federal, but some government agency somewhere engineers a coup in Ecuador to get him evicted from that complex and have him come to the U.S. and stand trial. I got a feeling that's in the works.
I don't know how clear that one is, but I will say this. In Berlin, they put up some statues last week of Edward Snowden and Chelsea Manning.
Cool.
As the Manning, who she was before she was incarcerated.
Right, yeah, Bradley Manning.
Yeah, Bradley. And they also stuck Julian Assange in there. And I thought I thought it was wrong. I don't think that Assange really deserves any place.
No, he's too much of an opportunist, and he's playing off it for his own benefit and not for the pureness of it. Unlike Manning and the other fella Snowden, they were pure in their motive.
That's right. They are American heroes.
I agree. There's a big difference between them and Assange.
Assange is a manipulative son of a bitch who's done this the whole time, and But when it served well, when he was dumping stuff that really needed to be, when he was the vessel of dumping for Greenwald and Snowden, that was different.
Right.
Everybody, and that kind of propping up, in fact, Greenwald is still saying WikiLeaks is a decent organization, and I think Greenwald ought to have his head taken out of his
Robert back. Greenwald's doing that?
Glenn Greenwald.
Or you mean Glenn, it's not Greenwald, it's that journalist that started The Intercept.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, it's not Greenwald. Glenn, I forget his last name, but.
I read what The Intercept writes, and I don't agree with Greenwald much at all. I don't.
Sometimes, yeah, and sometimes no.
It's hard, and that's the thing. It's hard to know who's grinding an axe, because he's definitely got an axe to grind.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it.
It's hard to understand. You know, it's like reading some of the really dissonant left stuff that I get from, like, the Grenville Post. It's like, Jesus, are you people for real? And then there'll be a post in there that's like, yeah, that's hitting it on the nail on the head. But the majority of stuff is just people grinding axes with their own little gigs, you know?
Well, and like we've said many times, you know, you have to be selective about the information you obtain and where you obtain it from. Alternate headlines, I read that quite frequently, too, and I don't agree with everything I see there because some of it's ludicrous. Some of it is people trying to grind an axe, and some of it is just, you know, basically far-left propaganda, but yeah, I don't want to just call it that, but there's some of that out there. And just like The Intercept and everything else too, you've got to look at it with a discerning eye, and you've got to look at other facts surrounding it to make your judgment.
There's a very old saying that the Native Americans have that a lot of recovery people have used for years. It's called walking your talk. And I find that people like Chris Hedges and Glenn Greenwald and a few others who post a great deal of information that affect.
I like
a
Chris
lot.
Hedges.
Chris Hedges bores me. He talks about how it has to be open revolution and nothing will change.
Yeah, he's gotten carried away with some of that stuff.
And the son of a bitch lives comfortably for it. You know, it's not like he's a Bolshevik, honey.
He does have an axe to grind because he was employed solidly by Time many years ago, and they basically cut him loose because he was too leftist for him. And so I can understand him having kind of an axe to grind and still wanting to maintain a good life. I can't blame him for that. But
for him to say that anybody who wants a good life to live is selfish to the society that's being
oppressed. That's hypocritical.
Can take a great big old fucking bite out of my ass, Jack.
Yeah,
you know?
It's hypocritical, no doubt about it. One other guy I do like a lot that I've been seeing, been on free speech lately, has been that economist, what's his name? There used to be a commentator on MSNBC that had the same last name, only had an extra E in it or something. Oh, Richard Wolff. He's a great economist, man. He knows his stuff through and through.
There is a way to maintain a semblance of republic and democracy without, you know, becoming a society of people who are dictated how they're going to live. You know what I'm saying here, gentlemen?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
I am not a communist myself, and I suppose I am not the kind of a capitalist that would see the country in its disarray now and not say that something has to be done.
I do
think that we should be able to choose our lives and make our way, and everyone should be. No one should be oppressed. And
right.
As long as we're all on an even playing field, and there
right.
is where the imbalance, the
good
starts.
Point, and the corruption begins.
Thank you.
Well, here's the thing. I think that as long as we're talking about how clean water and healthcare are human rights, so is the best education that you are capable of
Absolutely.
Enjoying.
Right.
Absolutely. You know, and you've heard me say this many times on this and in my writings and stuff. Adam Smith, right, The Wealth of Nations. And that was written, it was, you know, those that took the raw materials from a third world country did the value added to it. They were the ones that made the wealth because they were turning around selling it at a much higher profit back to the country they got the raw materials from. Well, now in this new second industrial revolution, I'll call it, is the true wealth of a nation is in a well-educated workforce. And the way that they're trying to keep well, perfect example. My daughter is dating this guy. He's had served in the Air Force there in Dover, Delaware, and he's trying to go to school on a GI Bill to keep improving his life. Well, right now, since this Trump administration and these Republicans took over, they are doing everything and interference, incompetence-looking kind of things to where he can't even use his veterans' benefits to get his education.
Oh, that's horrible.
He's halfway through his courses before they even knows if he's going to be reimbursed. He's paying out of pocket to get himself, you know, the classes started. But it's like by the time the course is half of the midterms, right, he still doesn't know if they're going to cover his expenses.
Well, let's look at the Republicans.
That's what
they
this Trump administration.
They've been no friends of education over the years.
Look at they put in head of the educational department. Someone that wants to destroy it.
Right, exactly, exactly. In the same way with the EPA.
Exactly. There's a repeating pattern here. Let's destroy the what will benefit the working middle class to, you know, so they can pull themselves up by their own bootstraps.
Yep.
Let's keep shoving them back down. That way we have a third world workforce that we can compete with the shitholes of this world because we're in a global economy.
Yep.
That's what their mandate is.
Yeah, it's terrible.
That third world workforce thing that you're talking about, the majority of those most oppressed in those countries are enjoying huge cadres of revolutionaries who do a lot of damage and keep their countries in turmoil, too. There's that.
Oh, true. Absolutely.
You
got to remember, when the French Revolution came back because the working middle class, the proletariats, we're so under the thumb of the upper 1% that, you know what, they said, we've had enough, let's invent the guillotine. Viva la guillotine.
Well, they don't use the guillotine anymore, do they?
No, I
think I'm just using in the historical precedence here.
I know they did in the 50s, rarely, but they still had it. I mean, it's like, that's another thing. Why do we have a death penalty?
It's insane.
It's
horrible.
Look
what's going on in Arkansas.
Arkansas.
The drug that's supposed to induce unconsciousness or whatever has an expiration date on it, and then it won't work anymore. So they're trying to kill as many people ahead of time as they can. It's insane.
Yeah.
Well, people, if you take a look at the epidemic of oxycodone, there's a lot of people selling the pills of it. They call them oxycodone on the street that are coming up now from South America. And here in Florida, it's all over. But here in Florida, I can give you an example. Last month alone in the city of Lake Worth, there were seven, because they're putting like with the heroin, they're putting fentanyl in these things. Too much. And
that's what killed Prince, wasn't it?
There were seven deaths in Lake Worth, but in West Palm Beach County, there were 18 deaths last month due to these oxycodone pills that they're putting out on the street side. And that doesn't even count the overdoses from regular medication. My roommate, Bob, takes them every day he has for years because of his disabled condition. If he were to run out and have to go or get cut off and go to the street, he risks death.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
When you get them from a pain clinic, you're getting the same dosage. It's very controlled, and there's no way of getting something different or errant, you know?
Yeah.
Just a side note here, guys. I want to up the beloved bastion of conservatism, Rush Limbaugh, who was federally convicted of having massive amounts of oxycodone. He was abusing it so much he was losing his hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and the volumes that he was controlling it in, he was basically listed as a federally convicted drug dealer.
Good God.
He
I'm not surprised.
He's supposed to be recovered now. He's
well,
not.
Still, doesn't make him not guilty of the crimes he committed previously.
Right.
Well, that's true. He was buying illegal, yeah.
He, is he shouldn't be allowed to vote. He is a federal convicted drug dealer.
He had
to
be on 20 years
at
hard labor
a gun.
For lying.
There you go.
Constantly.
Instead, they covered up for him, and he's still making millions.
Rush Limbaugh has been throwing shade all over Trump in the last few weeks. Have you noticed? For making the American people pay for a wall and not getting it done. And there are several things. He's been throwing shade at
well,
Trump.
Well, normal people in this country knew that that wasn't going to happen in the first place. They knew that he was slinging bullshit. And,
yeah.
And Rush Limbaugh is now surprised? Ooh, you mean we got to pay for it? You know, come on, Rush. Get your head out of your ass.
Yeah.
This is a guy who flunked out of college in the first semester. He didn't even pass ballroom dancing.
What? Oh, my God. How terrible. Unbelievable.
You know, show up.
I have a dear friend who's worked with him as a teleprompter. And she said it's crazy because you know what kind of a bile-raising son of a bitch he is.
Oh, yeah.
And yet when he's not in front of that microphone or whatever, he's one of the most decent people she's ever
met. I've
heard
he's a real charming guy. I can't imagine it, but I guess
so. Very sincere. Which is like, wow. Man,
I'm sure David Duke is too.
No, I don't think that's true. But when you look at that kind of craziness, I mean, if you stack him side by side with a guy like O'Reilly, and you see the difference. I mean, Rush Limbaugh hasn't got a reputation for being a son of a bitch who's, you know, done all these terrible things to women or to, frankly, I think he's a closet gay man.
Yeah. Well, how many hasn't he been married
no,
like
he
four
just goes
times?
Through
like no woman
like
can
Trump
put
does.
Up with him for more than just a few months before she realizes this guy's an insufferable son of a bitch.
Yeah, he goes through wives like Trump does. It's unbelievable.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But you know what? From the back burner, I've heard. I mean, this guy is a neighbor of mine. Remember? I mean, he gets around socially in this part of the world.
Right.
And from the back burner, I've heard about him. Personally, I mean, I think it's possible. I really do think it's possible. I mean, they call them trophy wives, but sometimes they call them, you know, the beard. It's like, I wouldn't put it past it, and I wouldn't condemn him for it either. I'm just saying that, you know, everything isn't what it seems to be these days.
Oh, sure. Well, no, it isn't.
I'm sorry, Gwen, you used the term. I was going to say, you used the term there, Gwen, that you have me at a disadvantage.
What?
Are you saying like he's caused a gay mind and man and posing by marrying women, saying, see, I'm a heterosexual? Is that what?
I'm saying it's possible. It's a possible.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. Well, the term you used, beard or something. I thought you said beard, but anyway.
Well, that's
I had not
like
heard
an,
that term.
That's like a 1940s way of saying, oh, he's just got that girl with him because he needs to, you know?
Okay. Yeah, all right. Yeah, I got it.
Or his mother would say, you know, he's queerer than a $3 bill.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you said queer. Somehow I'd heard beard, B-E-A-R-D,
no,
like man's facial hair.
I did say beard. I did. That's
okay.
It's an ancient slang.
Well,
for men,
okay. Well,
especially in the upper
class. See, folks, this show is educational, too, because I just learned something new.
But it was used as a term by, I think, the police, actually, to cover when they were making arrests in unlawful, you know, gay or...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that. That's right.
Yeah, it was used mostly amongst the upper classes, who were generally the ones who were trolled in on a lot of those. And
it never seems to amaze me how people are so damn obsessed with people's sex lives. For Christ's sake, what the hell is the difference who anybody's with, or if they want to be with somebody different than who they are? Who gives a damn as long as they treat the person good and they're not just using them or whatever? I mean, it blows me away.
Well, we're getting to the point, Jack, too, and law-abiding people. I agree with you, of course. But I'm also going to say that, you know, when a law is unjust and oppressive, you have to fight against it. So then you become an outlaw. That's who we are. We're a nation of immigrants and outlaws.
Yeah.
Those guys who boarded the decks of those ships in Boston Harbor were outlaws. You know, they looked they were outlaws.
Yeah.
And that's the way it's been. I mean, if you take a look at some of our most groundbreaking, especially here, according to gay marriage, I mean, all of these people who put themselves in harm's way, I'm thinking more along the lines, too, in the 80s when we were having sit-ins in New York about AIDS because no one would pay attention.
Right.
We were outlaws. Spit on me. I mean,
well,
you know,
outlaws always precede good legislation, I think, and outlaws pave the way.
Yeah. I agree.
What's the old saying? Well-behaved women rarely make history. Well, congratulations, you made history.
Yeah. You know what?
We're about to get back to the top of the hour, gang.
Holy cow, we've had fun tonight. It's just weird.
That can't be right. That cannot be right.
It's just almost 6 o'clock, I think, isn't it? Or 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock for us, yeah. So. Well, Gwen, take it, girl.
We've got 3 minutes left. I wanted to ask you, Jack, and commend you on your posts in the last couple of weeks. Have been fantastic.
Well,
very
you.
Good. Yes, I want to say that, too.
It's a Saturday afternoon
very
post.
Good.
I just began one series that I'm going to do exposing why Congress doesn't pay attention to our best interests. They're too busy pleasing special interests. And I give specific examples of particular congressmen. It started out with Republicans, and then it will go to some Democrats as well. People that are just bought up by special interests, and they're so busy trying to please them, they can't do the right thing, or they can't do the good thing, the common thing. So that's one of the posts. It's going to change as events change and stuff too. But I just began that series, and I'm going to have several installments of it.
Great.
Very good, Jack.
And you can find Jack's post over on Facebook at Here Be Monsters Radio.
Thank you for that, Gwen. And everybody, keep pushing forward. That's all we can do at this point. We got to keep pushing forward. Wayne, tell us about your website.
Well, Minds and Times of F. Wayne Johnson, to kind of compliment on what Jack just said, I work a lot with a moderate Republican congressman, Congressman Wayne Gilchrist, on many issues related to the 1st District there in Maryland. And it was the teabaggers who basically went after him because he wasn't a true conservative and elected Congressman Andy Harris, who is nothing but a corporate stoogie, the whole thing. So, again, Congressman Wayne Gilchrist would not take special interest money. He wanted to vote the way he wanted to be beholding anybody. He wanted to vote the way that was good for his constituents. Andy Harris's was the 180, and it was the teabaggers, through their ignorance, purged out a good man and put in a corporate stoogie, following the money. Gwen?
Thank you. Thank you, Wayne. Well, and this show and the Here Be Monsters Radio is sponsored by Daughters of ISIS. And I'm going to play a little commercial to play us off, hopefully.
Very good. Good night, all. Been a pleasure.
Have a good week, everybody, and keep pushing forward.
This is our spot to talk about Daughters of ISIS, the Ancestor Aromacology, our sponsor for the show. Indigenous scents representing the fragrant memories of our ancestors that provide us with tools for the inner quest, the authentic moment,
and to heal the Earth Mother, DaughtersDevices.com. If you just mention this show, you'll enjoy a free sample from our apothecary. Thank you. DaughtersDevices.com.
Okay. Oh, right. We're off there. Jack, you still with me?
You bet.
Thanks for hanging in there, buddy.
You bet. Great time today. Great show, Gwen. It's always good to be with you. So everybody keep pushing forward, and we're going to end up okay out of this thing in spite of Trump.
Yeah, you know what? You're right, Jack. Thanks for that.
You got it, honey. You bet. Have a great week, Gwen. Keep up the good work, and thanks so much for having me.
Oh, well, you're one of the co-hosts, buddy. Okay.
Sounds good, hon. All right, we'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Have a good week, listeners.